Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Keziah. Father, we thank you so much for the grace that you have poured out upon this altar. Father, we thank you for your grace that you poured out upon us, oh God, upon your hungry and thirsty children. Father, tonight we thank you that your eyes and your ears are attentive to this gathering, and our eyes are upon you. We look to you tonight by the power of your Spirit, Father, to reveal to us, oh God, how to position ourselves in this time when the nations are crying out for you, when the church is crying out for you. Father, help us to be vessels and instruments, oh God, that will receive an attention from heaven. Father, make us vessels, oh God, and battle axe that truly can make a difference in a time of need. Thank you so much for gathering us tonight. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Reveal your son Jesus to us and empower us by your spirit. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, by the grace of God, we pray that the Lord will help us, because I want to share with you about a very significant time of prayer, one of the most windows of reflection and time of prayer in the life of the children of Israel. Actually, it's called one of the days of, they call it the days of awe, that leads to the most holy day in the whole of the Jewish calendar. Call it the holiest day in their calendar, in the natural Jew. So, like you all know, God uses the life of Israel kind of as a symbolism or a reflection of the fulfillment of the church. So today we're going to be looking at a very significant window of time and a season of time, and how we are to position ourselves in this season that God can truly visit every one of us and truly use our positioning in the time of prayer to affect this nation in a positive way. You know, the Bible is so clear in the book of Zechariah that it is not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. One person can position themselves sensitive to a prophetic moment that God's Spirit can use to change the climate of a nation. We see it in the life of Elijah. We see it in the life of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. And we see it even in the life of Elijah. We see it in the life of Moses and these people. They were sensitive to moments in history, and they were able to position themselves based on the expectations of heaven, and they were able to shift the atmosphere of their time. How much more when a lot of people, a group of people, a remnant, are able to position themselves with the same mindset. So I want to share with you tonight a privilege we have and an opportunity we have in a window of time that you can truly open heaven upon your family, upon you, and upon your children. And this season I'm about to share with you is so significant. I don't know if we can cover it all tonight, but if we don't, we'll carry it over to next Wednesday because of the significance of this. So I pray that that God will give you understanding in this brief moment we have to lay this thing out by the grace of the Lord. Amen. The first scripture I want to read to awaken us to this reality is found in the book of Second Chronicles, a very popular scripture. It's very, very popular, Second Chronicles 7. But instead of starting from 14 that most people are familiar with, I will start from Second Chronicles 12. And the background for the Second Chronicles 12 was that God just finished manifesting his glory, just revealed himself in a mighty way as the temple of Solomon was being dedicated. The glory of the Lord visibly came, the Shekinah glory of the Lord fell upon that place. The fire of the Lord came, and the people bowed on the Feast of Tabernacles and worshiped the Lord and truly glorified the Lord. Now, after that night, the Lord visited Solomon. And you will say, why did he visit him? Because God wanted to let Solomon know that heaven is the desire of heaven to visit man. It's always the longing of God to find a habitation in the earth. But God, knowing the condition of man, that we quickly fall into pride and self and flesh, we will always quench or cut off this privilege we have with heaven. So he wanted to give Solomon a lifetime prescription for to all generations how to restore the glory of God, the presence or the power of God in any generation. So that night, from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Verse 13 says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now God is talking about a breach has been broken, and now heaven is shut off from the earth, or things starts happening to them, or pestilence, or just any kind of evil. Then God gave them a lifetime prescription from verse 14. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayers that is made in this place. So the Lord is saying here, I have opened heaven upon you and my glory has manifested. You can see it, Solomon. But there comes a time something happens between man and heaven that causes heaven to hold back the blessings to the earth. And it gives room for the enemy to attack and things to begin to happen. And so he says, Solomon, when these things happen, convey this message to our generation. When these things happen, you know that a breach has been broken, a breach has been made. And it is not the world, it is my people. And he says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. So immediately God revealed what has happened between heaven and earth. Pride has shut the way. Pride has closed the door. Pride has stepped in. And pride is always man taking God's glory, or man trying to rule over the things of God. You know, I don't want to go depth into what pride and humility. But pride has stepped in, and pride has opened the door for so many things to happen. So God says, if my people that I call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, meaning repentance. God says repentance, we see that as a very, very evil word in our generation. So we don't appreciate it. But basically, God gives grace. Somebody is really making this tremendous noise on the background with their phone. Please, if you don't mind. if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will I forgive their sin and heal their land. So God is saying there is nothing more wicked that turns man or turns God away from men than pride. Because pride opens the door for every conceivable thing that brings in sin. That's why God says, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And God says in Isaiah 66 from verse 1, he says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house and where is the place of my rest? But to this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and a contrite heart and that trembles at my word. God is talking about meekness and humility. When Jesus came, he says, all you that are heavy laden, are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you find rest to your soul. You can go on and see how pride is an enemy, or it's just the nature that resists the purpose of God, and humility attracts the things of God. So pride opens the door that causes blindness. Humility opens the door that causes us to receive restoration and to see the face of God again. So God here is giving a prescription that there comes a time when, if heaven is shut and we're seeing the effect of a shut heaven on the earth, like what we're going through right now in our generation, or like what Israel has gone through in the past, no rain, no crops, no food, their enemies are prevailing and they're in captivity, all these things, it means that they've lost their original position where they ruled over their enemy and they were prosperous. So God said, when you see this fruit in the earth, you know that heaven is shut. So to restore and to cause heaven to respond again, to bring restoration and healing, he says, we have to humble ourselves and seek the face of the Lord and turn away from pride. Amen. So having said this as a prescription for the ways of God, in other words, repentance opens the door for forgiveness and healing. Like if somebody does something to you and you say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I won't do this again, that restoration begins right there. So God is saying, when my people are able to genuinely say, I take responsibility for the condition of my nation, the condition of my family, condition of this, I repent, forgive me, I'm sorry, God, do this, God. You know, immediately, God begins to respond, and God begins to heal. So Daniel did it for the nation, and different people have done it. So that brings me, I just quickly trying to prepare our heart, the power of repentance that leads to forgiveness and that leads to restoration. So having said this, there is a principle in the wisdom of God. From the fall of man, God knows that man can easily fall into pride after from the garden. So and pride will always close the door. God will bless us today. Tomorrow, pride takes over. We lose everything. Or we begin to walk in our own ways. Israel eventually went through this pattern. God will bless them. Pride will set in. God will bless them. You know. So God, knowing the fragile nature of man, created made a way of escape. And that way of escape is kind of an insurance for man. He created an insurance so that when things happen, we are able to be redeemed, we are redeemable. So when God brought them out of Egypt, and so God laid a principle and a pattern for Israel to be able to survive. But everything God did with Israel was a type and shadow for the church. And if you understand the principles and how it reflects the spiritual components of the church, you will always become a vessel that God can use in your personal breakthroughs, family breakthroughs, in whatever areas of breakthrough, even in a city and a national breakthrough. So I want to show you, just quickly mention, I will not be able to get to it, but quickly mention, you can write it down, Leviticus 23. In Leviticus 23, God gave Moses certain feast, and the Lord calls it the feast of the Lord, the days of my appointed seasons. My appointed seasons. These are windows of time. So he gave them certain seasons that begins in the Hebraic first month. See, Jewish calendar, or the calendar by which prophetic things that God has spoken come true, is different from our Gregorian, or what we call our worldly calendar. We begin in January. God's calendar begins in March, April, or something. So God gave Moses this calendar seasons, and it begins with the Hebraic month of Nisan or Abib. You will see that in Exodus 12. But in Leviticus 23, he laid out seven feasts of the Lord. And these feasts were to point Israel towards God in every aspect of their life, and to remind them where they came from and where they are going. So the first one is the popular one we know in the first month. It's called the Feast of Passover or Unleavened Bread. And then the parallel for that, of course, was when Jesus was crucified on that very season and was raised up again. Then we have the feast in the third month, the Hebraic third month, called the Feast of Pentecost. And that's exactly the feast parallel for the church. When the church was born, the Holy Spirit was poured out. So then we have the feast in the seventh month. And the feast in the seventh month begins with the first of the feast. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. You will see this in Leviticus 23. The Feast of Trumpets. But today we call it the Rosh Hashanah. Okay? The Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the seventh month. But in today's Jewish calendar, it's called the first day of their new year. You know, Rosh Hashanah. So, on the first day of the seventh month, Hebraic calendar, the Feast of Trumpets is the blowing of trumpets. And then, on the tenth day of that seventh month, is the Atonement Day. Atonement. And then, on the 15th day of that seventh month is the beginning, or they call it the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days. And the eighth day is called the Great Day of the Feast, where Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, in John 7. So those are the seven feasts, if you count them. And they are all harvest feasts. Now, because we're not majoring on that, the one that I want to share with you tonight is the feast that we're about to go into. And the Feast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. In today's calendar, it's called Yom Kippur. All right. So, God gave Moses this feast, and he told him what they should do as a memorial in every one of these feasts. Now, when it comes to the feast of the seventh month, there's something very significant God told them. And that's why this feast of the seventh month, especially Atonement, became the high holy day for Israel. And what is that feast? Every seventh month, at the seventh month, God uses seven as a cycle for Israel. Every seventh month, God, knowing that he's made a covenant with Israel, and he cannot break that covenant. So if they sin and they don't repent, there is a consequence for them. So God established this way of escape. So every seventh month, from the trumpet will be every year, they will sound the trumpet from the first day of the seventh month. And that particular sound of the trumpet is to call the whole nation to a 10 days of awe, or 10 days of repentance, or what we call a 10 days of reflection. So all Israel will begin to look deeply into their life and begin to take inventory, you know, which is just normal. See, so, you know, and they begin to take inventory of, have I forgiven somebody? What have I done wrong? Have I been stealing? Have I been maltreating? What is it? They begin to look at their lives. Because the reason is, every one of them has to bring a sacrifice at that 10th day. And the high priest will do a general sacrifice for himself and for the whole Israel. And we take the blood of this sacrifice into the Holy of Holies only once a year. And the high priest will do this only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And on that Day of Atonement, when all Israel has repented, take these 10 days to reflect their sins, fast and chastening themselves, God commands them not to eat on that Day of Atonement. The high priest will go in with all the sacrifice, with incense once a year, and will atone for the sin of Israel. What does that mean? The blood of bulls and goats will be taken as a substitute for their sin. And their blood is sprinkled on the altar, on the mercy seat, 7 times. And the incense burns there. And the high priest has to follow a very disciplined process. And after the high priest does this, then he atones for their sin. And what does that do? That covers the sin of the whole nation. The sin of the high priest covers all of them for another year. And when the high priest comes out, then when the high priest comes out, means Israel now enters a new cycle of servants with the blessings of rain, fruitfulness, provision, everything. And they celebrate that at the last festival called Tabernacles. So they come back 5 days later and they celebrate and rejoice because they know it's going to be a good season. And they also do a memorial of God dwelling in their midst, called Tabernacle. So that's the general cycle of Israel from when they came out of Egypt and they possessed their promised land. You know, so every year God does that. Then God gave them laws for every 7 years. Now, so every year, the high priest goes in and atones for Israel. Only one person can go in to see that mercy seat, experience the glory of God, atone once a year. But today, we know through scriptures, on that Passover lamb, Jesus became that Passover lamb. Jesus did not only become the Passover lamb, but Jesus also became our high priest. Our chief high priest. So Jesus satisfied the Passover and the atonement for us and became once and for all our high priest that sits on the right hand of God making intercession for us with his blood. Amen. So but for the children of Israel, they had to do that once a year until Jesus came and atoned for us. And especially those that are born again today recognizes that. Now, that is just preparing our understanding for what I'm about to share with you. So now, God has given them this principle. So the first is Passover. They came out of Egypt. God used the blood of bulls and goats as a substitute for the sin when they were in the world. Brought them out of the world through the substitutional work of bulls and goats, because atonement, you know, forgiveness comes with the blood. But then on the 7th month, the blood and the atonement is not sharing for them to come out of Egypt, but it's for the sin of my people. It's the sin of Israel that is being forgiven, not on that time. So the high priest goes in and repents on behalf of himself and the nation Israel as a people. And then God forgives and God restores them. So that's why you see the book of Joel calls for a solemn assembly on the feast day for this kind of repentance and forgiveness so that God can come true for them. Now, having said all this, God also knowing that the children of Israel eventually, as a nation, even though their sins can be atoned every year, once a year, but God also knew that as men, they will make mistakes, they will go into different kinds of error, and they can eventually begin to operate like the world. And their own brothers and sisters, they can fall into owing debts, owing one another. So God established a principle that will make sure that Israel will not eventually get to the point where their own countrymen, their brothers and sisters, will be in bondage the rest of their life to an Israelite. So God created another road of escape and blessing. I want to read this to you, and I want you to pay attention carefully, because that's what I want to share with you tonight about the season that we are in. And I will paint a picture of how significant this season is and how this can literally, if you enter into this window of opportunity, can totally transform and bring the breakthrough that you're looking for so many years. I want to read this amazing opportunity God created for Israel from the book of Leviticus 25. For time, I'll read from verse 8. This is another. It says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th of the 7th month." That's the Day of Atonement. "In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout your land." Verse 10. "And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession." It's a year of release. "And you shall return every man unto his family." Verse 11. "A jubilee," jubilee means joy, "a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which grows of itself in it, neither gather the grapes in it of thy vine undress, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession." He repeated it again. We can read on and on, but I'll stop there. You can study it. It's a year of release and restoration and deliverance and liberty and freedom. Actually, without getting too much ahead of myself, if you go to Philadelphia at the Liberty Hall, you'll see a Liberty Bell. Written on that Liberty Bell is Leviticus 25:10. You will read it on the bell. It's written there. And it was that bell, you see 4th of July there, that was wrong when America received their jubilee from the colonization of the British. So they call it the year of jubilee, that 4th of July. Now, this principle God gave to Israel is that every 50 years, they will count, because God works in the cycle of 7. 7 begins with the first 7 is Sabbath. And then God begins with the feast, 7th month. And then from the 7th month, you go the cycle of 7. Their year is by 7. And now God will say, number, okay, for example, from the first month after Passover, the Sunday after Passover, God will tell them in Leviticus 23, number from that day 7 times 7, 49. And then the 50th day is what it called Pentecost. But now on Pentecost, God did something amazing on the third month, that the fullness of that, the spiritual of that, was the birth of the church. But Israel was celebrating that thing literally on their own, and they still celebrate it. But the spiritual part of it manifested on the day when the church was born and the Spirit of the Lord came down. Now, Now God is giving another principle. This time is not 50th day, but 50th year. But this is on the seventh month. God tells them, he says, just like the 50th day, number 7 years, what he called it, when they allowed their land to rest. But then he says, multiply 7 times 7 years, and that will be 49 years. And after that 49 years, the next seventh month, on the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day of the seventh month, that year, instead of the trumpet to be blown on the first day of the seventh month, the trumpet will be blown on the Day of Atonement. And that trumpet will be a sound. And that sound will be a significant sound, and it will be a sound of release. It will be a trumpet, and the message is, everybody that has gone into debt, they've been doing business, or they owed somebody and they could not pay, their children now are ransomed for that, their children, and after 50 years, somebody's owing somebody house, and now you're slaves to your own countrymen, or you're still owing lands, and everything that you have lost. And now you've not only lost them, you are indebted to the people you're still owing. And even they'll take their families and their children as debtors. You see that in the Bible. So God is saying, after 49 years, on the 50th year, a trumpet is going to go forth. And that trumpet is to release everybody that has, through their mistakes, through their sin, whatever they've done, because it has to be on the Day of Atonement. One, the blood will cover a blanket sin of the nation. The blood will cover the sin of the people. But on the 50th year, not only will the blood do that, but then there will be a release. And that release means everybody is restored back to their original state. But here is how this works. If you lost something, maybe about 10 years, you lost the land, or 15 years, you lost the land you were owing, and you gave your land as a substitute and you're owing as a debtor. If the person that took your land planted in the land, and that land has become so prosperous, becomes full of vine, full of all kinds of things, and that land is now rich, when that 58th year come, the land that you had nothing on, you will now be given back to you with fruits on it. That land must go back to you. Whatever it is that they've used, it will go back. So that's why in the book of Joel, the prophecy came when God was giving them jubilee, when God was responding to their repentance. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has taken, the caterpillar, the cankerworm. Meaning, I will redeem to you everything that you've lost with time, and I will multiply it back to you. That's a year of jubilee. So that's what they experienced on Pentecost. So now, but this year of jubilee for Israel physically was when God will restore everything to them. They begin afresh. But not only afresh, they begin with a fresh prosperity. God gives them a second chance. And this only happens once in their lifetime. You can only experience it once in your lifetime, because it's every 50 years. Unless if you live to be 100 and something. Amen? So, those who live to be 100 and something maybe experience it twice in their lifetime. Now, this year of Jubilee is what Pentecost is in a matter of days, is what Jubilee is in context of years, in multiplied blessings. So, God works with Israel in this way. But also, this is a spiritual principle. What Passover is for us coming out of the world. They came out of Egypt. Passover is this. The blood of Passover brings us out of darkness to light. That's what Jesus did on the cross. But now that Jesus is now our high priest, the Bible says he sits on the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 12 says, there is a blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Because now Jesus is the mediator of that covenant as a high priest. So now we have come out of Egypt, called the church. We've come out of Egypt, now we are the church. But like Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God knew that they might backslide because of pride. And they can go into captivity for their own countrymen. They can suffer. So God prepared a Jubilee principle to restore them. So now, Jubilee takes place every 50 years on the Day of Atonement. Why the Day of Atonement? Is the time where the high priest intercedes for on behalf of the people. So the Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus, our high priest, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now you will say, every time I pray, God forgives me. I ask for forgiveness, he forgives me. You know, I ask for forgiveness for my family, he forgives me. You know, those are, you know, God will forgive, God will do all this stuff. But let me give you a clarity about this Jubilee principle and the Day of Atonement. Every day is not your birthday, but we know that you can celebrate your birthday every day. You can enjoy your birthday every day. People can, but I'll tell you, your parents don't give you gifts the way they do every on your birthday. People don't remember you every day like they do on your birthday. People love you, but on your birthday is special. You attract a special attention. So when God established this feast, he called them my appointed feast. And then he put a word there, Moeb, means my seasons. Seasons of memorial. Meaning, no matter what happens through the year, these particular days are like special birthdays. And they represent what God has appointed. So that's why the high priest cannot go any day but that day. Jesus is our high priest. And if anything happens to you now as a believer, you just ask God to forgive you. He's forgiven instantly. You can ask God to forgive your family. He's forgiven instantly. You can ask God to forgive a nation. God can forgive. There's something about those specific days that it is a memorial. A memorial means those days are remembered and celebrated. And those days have their covenant days in the earth. And they bring about covenant blessings. When I received the revelation of really celebrating the characteristics of each feast since 2006, from that day till now, there's hardly a time that you don't get special breakthroughs on that day or special visitations. It's not like God doesn't bless you every day, but there's just something about zeroing on those days because God says, that's my day. I just need you to be completely attentive to me. God does something. So on the year of Jubilee, the significance of it is God not only forgives, but that's a day you remind heaven for restoration, for deliverance, for healing and stuff. Because that's the day Jesus, our high priest, is petitioning heaven with his blood and say, release every debt, release this, release that. And God will do it when God's people understand the revelation of it. But this is tied to physical Israel. Okay, let me quickly round up. We might continue next week, but let me quickly try to summarize for today. You know, when the children of Israel, we are physically celebrating Passover, that's when Jesus died, and there was a spiritual component. When they were physically celebrating Pentecost, they were drinking, Israel was doing their physical Jewish Pentecost. On the other side, the Holy Spirit visited some people on the upper room that were sensitive to the season. So, the same way, God parallels significant season with the church. Right now, there is no way to understand Israel's season of Jubilee because since 70 AD, Israel has been scattered. And you connect Jubilee to the temple. The temple is where the high priest goes in once a year.
and on the Day of Atonement. So they still celebrated religiously. But after the temple was destroyed, 70 AD, they were scattered. So there's no way you can even connect anything to Jubilee from there. You can't even time it. But in 1967, after Israel came back, 1948, they did not have Jerusalem, and the temple is the center of their spiritual, prophetic spiritual life. So 1948, Israel came back as a nation. But 1967, they were restored to Jerusalem and restored to the ram, the remains of the temple. And they associated that willing war, that place, with the grounds of the temple. So that's when Jerusalem, which is... So from that day that Jerusalem was restored, to that was the 5th of June, 7th of June, 1967. This year, 7th of June, was the 49th year of Jerusalem being restored. And so you might have studied, you might have heard, you might have read all over the internet or somewhere why they are calling this year the year of Jubilee, 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 all the way from history. The reason for that is because, the most practical reason is because Jerusalem was 49 this June 7th. So the next 7th month atonement will be this coming October 12th. So this will actually be the first, in principle, first time you can literally associate Israel and Jerusalem and the temple having a 50-year interval of time since 70 AD. So that's why, if you've heard it, you've studied, this year in Hebraic calendar or throughout the world, they're calling it the year of Jubilee. I'm sure you've heard it. So that's why it is. But outside of that, this, anytime this time of atonement is a time where we just use it as a calendar to really take the first 10 days to Yom Kippur to personally. I just read to you in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord really opened my eyes in this season and said, there are needs that we have. There are things we are going through. And many times we are binding the devil. We are binding our enemies. We are praying against the altars. But God says, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when heaven was short, when certain breakthroughs were not coming, he wasn't telling them to bind the devil at that time. He wasn't telling them to rebuke the devil. He wasn't telling them to call fire from heaven. He says, no, all you need for breakthrough, all you need to see restoration, all you need for healing, all you need for me to come true, for heaven to open, for what you're believing for to come true, is for you to truly set your heart. Take a moment and truly allow God to do some serious internal cleansing. For repent, seek for, look, just repent. Repent for yourself, repent for the family, repent for the nation. So on a personal level, family level, church level, national level, he says if you can activate a 10 days of repentance, that might be the window that will bring what you're looking for and open heaven upon you. And especially if you do it to the Day of Atonement, you are literally covenanting with heaven. And just like the high priest did for the physical Israel, you are literally asking Jesus, our high priest, who hears our prayer every day, but especially on this day. If you look at Revelations 5, Revelations 8, you will see there, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's still worthy. He's still our high priest. He's still making intercession. And we can remind him and say, if the physical high priest can stand on our behalf through his blood, we are asking, we are joining with the prayers of Jesus for the church, for the saints. And we're saying, God, forgive me, like Daniel. Forgive my sins. Forgive whatever I have contributed to what's happening in this nation or my family. God, cleanse me from pride, from anything that I don't see that is holding me from my miracle, from my breakthrough, from an open heaven. God, forgive my family, forgive my husband, forgive my wife. Whatever it is, forgive. Church repentance, national repentance. We'll take 10 days just doing this and then praying. And then say, God, this is a parallel of the 50th year of Israel's restoration. We know that you normally bring Jubilee. God, will you give us a 50-year blessing? Will you remember us? Will you give us a Jubilee experience? Will you bring deliverance to our family? Will you bring restoration? Will you just remember us in this moment and do something that we least expect? Just praying in that vein and believing it. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because I received it so clearly. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not doing justice to it. But I'm only explaining it to encourage us. But for me, it was so clear that all I just need to do is obey. And I am totally convinced there is no way I won't see a breakthrough in this season. Because God says, if you will consecrate 10 days from, it will be the 3rd of October, which is the first day of the Hebraic seventh month, or what they call Rosh Hashanah, consecrate a fast and a time of just sober reflection, you know, looking at yourself. You know, there was a time I was driving on a highway before the GPS came. I was using a MapQuest. I made a mistake and I took a turn on the MapQuest. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello?
This service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound. This menu will repeat. Access code accepted. There are 59 participants in this conference.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, I think I got cut off. I don't even know where I stopped. But basically, I was driving, just using this month as a time of reflection and repentance and seeking the face of the Lord. These 10 days of awe. I will talk more about it next on the 5th. But beginning from the 3rd of this month, that's why I'm sharing this with you, you enter into a season of reflection for yourself and repentance and prayer for the nation, for your family, with expectation for God to really visit you in this season, for God to personally come true, for God to really truly begin to judge every wickedness against your life, every altar of injustice. You know, and the reason why repentance is so important, and I know our time is gone, is this. I was driving before the GPS, like I was saying. I was using MapQuest, and there was a road I turned into. And I didn't look at the sign, so there was a split. So I went to one sign, and I thought, in my mind, I was still on the right road. I drove a long way, not knowing I was going south instead of east. It was later I got to a rest stop, and I realized, wow, this is not the way I've always traveled. So I went back, looked, and I saw that I've gone so many miles away from the right direction. What did I do? I had to turn back, unfortunately, all the way back to that cross road, and then took the east again and started going back. What do I mean by that? See, pride, like the children of Israel, like every one of us, pride sometimes can be so subliminal that if we don't take a time to stop, like God commanded Israel to do, and search our hearts and look, it's very possible we are too busy for God and we are serving him, like the Ephesian church said. They are serving God, doing things, but Jesus says, your heart, you've lost your first love. Or we are serving a ministry not even knowing. So there are so many things we might be doing, not knowing we might have gone out of the track. So God gives yearly opportunity, weekly opportunity, but God demanded that from Israel every year. Set yourself, get back on track, just in case you miss the line. So, and when you do it, God says, I'll restore you. But then on a jubilee, I will forgive your debt. I will break your debtors back. I will give you back. I will bring you, reposition you, reposition your nation, reposition your family, reposition everybody back from the place of. So I just want to encourage us, because our time is gone. Please, by the grace of the Lord, I shared all this, but it's really a word from the Lord for us to consecrate personal time of repentance, personal time of waiting on the Lord, family time, these 10 days. I promise you, my brothers and sisters, something will come true to you. God will bring a deliverance, a breakthrough, favor, whatever it is, I'm expecting it in a very big way. And we'll share more next Wednesday. And I believe God is going to speak very clearly to us. But I just want you to take advantage of the 3rd of this October, going all the way to Yom Kippur, especially this year. Pray for America. Repent on behalf of the nation. Repent on behalf of the state where you are. Repent on behalf of the city where you are. Repent on behalf of your family and your church. Stand in the gap. Unite with Jesus as intercessors at this time. Believe that the blood has the capacity to change things. And let's see what God will do, especially on this year of Jubilee, on this season of atonement. And we're standing in the gap as intercessors. Father, I thank you for revelation and understanding. Father, I commit this word to you. I commit your children to you. Father, there are things we have sought help for. We have not seen breakthroughs in 14 years. We've not seen breakthroughs in 20-something years. But you have appointed years of Jubilee, that we will not exceed certain problems, certain bondages will not exceed 50 years in our life. They will not, and even when we are 20-something, we are 5 years, we are one, when we enter the year of Jubilee, you bring a corporate breakthrough. Father, I'm believing that you will surprise every one of us in this season of Jubilee. You will do things that will astound, amaze us, that you are a God who has made covenant with your people, and you never forget your covenant people. No matter how wrong, no matter how blind, no matter how we have missed the road, Father, this is an opportunity for us to be restored and to be repositioned, to have a voice in our generation and to give hope to a lost nation. Have your way and let your name be glorified in this season. In Jesus' name, amen.